Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. We once again have Josh Beard here for Paul Gallant. Josh, thanks for hanging out.
It's been a blast.
It has been a lot of fun.
I've had a lot of fun.
Josh is our go-to, too. He works very well with both Paul and I, and Sean as well. So Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. And we actually have a pretty busy day for summer, guys. That's because Deshaun Watson is currently, as of now, there's a hearing involving his possible suspension. Sue L. Robinson, the neutral arbitrator in this whole NFL-CBA deal. Allegedly, those decisions are being made right now. The hearing is right now. I don't know if we're going to know anything today, but we'll certainly update you guys if we know anything about that. But for right now, we're going to touch on the Rockets and John Wall. The Rockets have agreed to a buyout with John Wall. About $6.5 million less than his contract, so he ends up earning $41 million to do nothing.
To do absolutely nothing.
Which, if you can get it, is a hell of a get.
I can't even get a deal earning $41 to do nothing.
Yeah.
I have to work hard for that money. I have to work hard for that $41. And John Wall, what's funny, if you go to Basketball Reference and you look at John Wall's stats, I was just checking him out last night, just messing around, seeing like what did he look like in the one season he actually played some games for the Rockets. But if you go and look at his stats for the 2019-2020 season, it says sat out, left Achilles, and all these other injuries. But if you look at this last season, it says did not play, in parentheses, sat out. That's it. That's the whole description. Just sat out for the whole season. I think it's crazy that we're in this era of professional sports where these guys have so much power because of their skill and their ability that they can get paid tens of millions to hundreds of millions of dollars to not play the game at all. We've seen it with Deshaun Watson. We've seen it now with John Wall. We're going to see it with Baker Mayfield most likely. And John Wall gets paid $41 million. That felt like Dr. Evil saying that. $41 million to do nothing all season, to sit out because he was being whiny, because he was being a whiny little person. And I know I say little person, John Wall's probably like 6 inches taller than
me. Yeah, he's not small.
He's not small. But in person. But you know what? Tiny little person up here in the noggin. They actually probably would have been a relatively competitive team had John Wall played the way John Wall can play. Is he all-star level John Wall anymore? No. We know that he's going to go play for the Clippers now. As soon as free agency opens, that's where he's going to go. And Clippers fans are like, oh, well, we're getting John Wall. That's insane. Yeah, just one more oft-injured former all-star that you can add to your team that may not play a lot of games. Like, if the Clippers want to rejoice anything, it's, hey, how many more guys can we get that probably won't get to play in the most clutch moments during the season. They're gonna load manage all season long. There are gonna be games where John Wall, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard don't touch the court at the same time multiple games in a row because they're gonna do their load management.
Yeah. Gotta love it. I liked this from Nick's Tape Schmurda on Twitter. John Wall signed his contract, his injury year, and sat out.
Yeah.
Got traded to Houston and played 40 games in 2020. Then sat out the whole 2021-2022 season, 40 games, and has been paid $123 million. First team all finesse. And I like the word finesse because it reminds me of my name, Vanessa, and I've tried to like fit that in somewhere, and I just can't make it work. But first team all finesse indeed for John Wall. Here's my question for you guys. And Sean, you follow the Rockets closely too, so maybe you can chime in here. Didn't it come out that maybe John Wall had not wanted to sit out and that Rafael Stone had asked him to, or am I making that up?
No, John Wall and Clutch, who represents them, they were completely on board with sitting out.
So it was both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the
That's
Rockets.
That's incredible. So both sides were okay with him not doing anything.
Yeah. The Rockets wanted to give Kevin Porter Jr. a shot at being a point guard and develop him, Jalen Green. And John Wall wanted to play for a contender, and he didn't want to come off the bench. Because they were like, you can
play,
but we're going to start Kevin Porter.
Right.
And he did not want to come off the bench for the worst team in the league. And the worst team in the league was like, well, if we have John Wall, we're going to win like 24 games instead of 20. Like, who cares?
You know what's funny?
That's absurd.
You brought up those numbers that he played 40 games. That was tied for 512th in the NBA. In that stretch.
Whoa, stats nerd.
And then his $123 million was tied for third. So he was tied for the third most money made with that $123 million, but he played the 512th most games, which is pretty incredible.
That's a great stat.
That's a huge disparity.
And the thing that, you know, I can almost more so, this is going to sound like I love chaos and maybe I do. I can more accept if somebody sits out in like a protest. But the fact that both sides were like, hey, do you want to like make $40 million and do nothing? And the other side's like, yeah, bet. And they just did that is always going to be incredible to me.
I need that deal. Where is that one for
me? Yeah, come on. Mr. Gal, give me that deal. I'll sit out.
Sean's just sitting at home playing video games.
Yeah.
Please.
I think it's for the best for everyone. No, also, I think you saw this, Josh, last night. Comparing John Wall's games played to Dirk Nowitzki's last 5 years.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Dirk Nowitzki in the last 5 years. Now, think about how long ago he retired. Dirk Nowitzki in the last 5 years has played more games than John Wall.
Shut up.
Yeah, and he retired two of them ago. Or three years ago.
He retired in 2019.
Yeah, and he retired 2019, 3 years ago. He's played more games in the last 5 years than John Wall has, which is one of the most incredible stats of all the stats that we've found on this John Wall situation.
Breaking news. Wee-oo. Per Adrian, how's that? Per Woj, Russell Westbrook is planning to exercise his $47.1 million option to return to the Lakers for the 2022-2023 season.
Yikes.
Thoughts?
Yikes.
Of course he's going to take $47 million to... You know,
he just tweeted a video of him singing Beyonce's You're Not Gonna Break My Soul, which we assume is a subtweet. But yeah, he's gonna return to, I'm sure Lakers fans are thrilled.
I obviously would opt into that if I were Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like the Lakers don't want him there anymore. Lakers fans don't want him there anymore. He's not gonna be able to make that much money anywhere else. So you might as well opt into it and force them to trade you away. Like that's exactly the play that you need to make if you're Russell Westbrook. I just think it's insane how far Russell Westbrook has fallen over, you know, speaking of the last 5 years, how far Russell Westbrook's just completely fallen off of the map because of his play style and because of who he is, because he's not willing to give the ball up to anybody else on the offensive side of the ball. And he's just completely fallen off the map. Now he goes to play with other stars again, all of a sudden. And he has no idea how to pass it to him. He has no idea how to open the offense up for them. His play style is completely antithesis to everything that Anthony Davis does, to everything that LeBron does. I don't know that there is a team that, like, the only team that worked for Russell Westbrook was a Kevin Durant-less Thunder team. And that's why he played so well there, but they never really did anything because he doesn't really make the players around him better, and now he's going to end up getting traded somewhere else. But poor Russell Westbrook.
I do want to give a shout out to Kyrie Irving for making an incredible sacrifice. Shams tweeted this. Shams Charania, yeah. Shams Charania. Actually, you know what? That's not as hard as it is because it kind of looks like that. Tweeted out. That this is an exact quote from Kyrie Irving. Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. A11 even?
All even.
All even, yeah. All even.
Wait, what?
Yeah, all even.
I never knew all the times I saw it on Twitter. I never knew.
Because we're all even as people.
No, we're not.
As souls on the
astral plane. He just made...
Well, but he doesn't believe that the Earth is round anyway. So we're all even. What he means is we're all even, like, because leveled. We're all standing on a flat Earth, right? Yeah.
Like, that's a great point.
Yeah, because that's what Kyrie believes. You know what the funniest part about this is? Kyrie's like, yeah, I'm keeping my commitment to Kevin Durant in the Nets after I already asked to look for a sign and trade and realized nobody except for the Lakers was willing to sign and trade for me. He made that whole list last week of possible destinations, places he would want to be traded to. Literally none of them wanted him. Because why? Look, you live and die by Kyrie. Kyrie Irving is an incredible basketball talent, right? And so you live by the talent that he brings you sometimes in games. But that's if he's playing in the game. That's if he's not just being ridiculous off the court. I wouldn't even want to come close to dealing with Kyrie Irving off the court. So yeah, I'd be on board with not wanting to make the sign and trade for him. And it's hilarious that he's trying to play it up like, yeah, I'm
big
living
sacrifice,
up to my
guys. Big sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
$37 million. Shout out to thank you for your service, Kyrie. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, it is a big day in the NFL and specifically a big story for Houston. We'll explain.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Josh Beard in for Paul Gallant today as we are rolling along on a Tuesday. We were just talking about John Wall and how he sat out and made a lot of money. Another guy that sat out and made a lot of money in Houston sports was Deshaun Watson, of course, for vastly, vastly different reasons. But today is a huge day. A retired federal judge, we've heard her name a lot, Sue L. Robinson, is in the midst right now of a hearing and will make a decision at some point about Deshaun Watson's future in the NFL and whether or not he violated the league's personal conduct policy. And we're going to play audio in a couple minutes or so from Ian Rappaport on Pat McAfee's show. But I thought one interesting thing that Pat brought up yesterday was that they're glad there's a neutral arbitrator. A lot of players are, because it used to just be Roger Goodell.
Right.
So you could appeal, but you were appealing to the same person that had made the initial decision. So a neutral arbitrator is good, but both sides can appeal. So this has the potential to go a lot of different directions, but certainly a significant step today with this hearing.
Yeah, Roger Goodell's talked about this a little bit, where he said that the neutral arbitrator was important for them so that they could find somebody that would be able to look at every aspect of this case with Deshaun Watson and really come to a true determination of what was going to happen. I also believe part of the reason why they wanted a neutral, if I were the players, I wouldn't be as excited. I think it's definitely a better sign than Roger Goodell just like doling out punishment.
Right.
But there would be a little bit of trepidation for me if I were a player. And I don't think they should be as excited, because I think this is Roger Goodell's way of them being able to dish out a much more strict punishment than they ever have.
His name's not on it.
Exactly. Roger Goodell's name's not on it. The NFL, their name's not on it. It's a neutral arbitrator that's coming in and saying, this is what I'm recommending. After looking at all of the evidence, after seeing everything, he settled on 20 cases. There are still 4 cases out there. These are all the allegations, upwards of 66 different masseuses. Only a few of those have come out in defense of Deshaun Watson. Here are all the facts that we know, all the things that we've heard. Now the Texans are a part of this lawsuit. Every consideration of this to this point. And she can come out and say, I recommend a minimum of a year, upwards of 2. Where that's what we've heard over the last four days since Friday, them talking about doing an indefinite suspension with a minimum of 1 year and then deciding after that. I think that's in line with what a lot of us really want for a suspension for Deshaun Watson. You know, my biggest fear has always been if they gave him a 17-game suspension and then he appealed it down to 9. That's always been my fear.
Yeah.
I don't want that. So if it's an indefinite suspension with a minimum of 1 year, then I'm totally on board with that. And they can dole out that punishment through a neutral arbitrator without worrying about the players being like, oh, Roger Goodell did it again. Well, no, now his name's not attached.
I will say even the smartest and most plugged in national media folks have seemed a little confused about this process.
Yeah.
Because I've heard a myriad of different things. I consume a lot of sports media, as I know you both do too. And I've heard, you know, at the beginning it was like, well, Roger Goodell has the final say.
Right.
And then I heard, no, Sue L. Robinson has the final say. And now I just learned even more from Ian Rappaport, who was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday and had some more information about this.
Whenever this is over, either tomorrow or Wednesday, then the judge has some options. She can issue a ruling, which is, okay, like, he violated the personal conduct policy, here's how many games. Or she could say he did not violate the personal conduct policy, in which case that's a wrap and it is over. Or she could ask for more. She could ask for briefs, which would then have to be filed within 3 days, which would prolong it a little more. So there's several things that could happen. But yes, this is the first time where it's like a resolution is imminent, and that will tell us a real lot about this coming season.
So she could ask for briefs. She could decide that what she wants, and then both sides can appeal. So here I am thinking that this thing is about to be done, though. Like,
right.
We're going to know by Wednesday. We're going to be breaking it, you know, on our show. It sounds like it could still drag on.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could. We've all been hoping for a long time, especially last week after those cases were settled. We're like, okay, that means the decision has to be coming pretty quickly. But it definitely could drag on for a lot longer. She could be meeting with Deshaun Watson, get his side of it. And this is kind of the fear that we've had, where it's, we talked about this last week, where the NFL, they were trying to find what was a workable suspension,
where it sounded like Mulligetta had a say, which was absurd.
Right. Well, but maybe this is the chance where Deshaun and Mulligetta get a say in what it looks like for them, get their side of the story, because that's the whole point of this with a neutral arbitrator. You're going to get all the sides of the story, and you're going to be able to hear Deshaun Watson and listen to him. And so this could drag out a little bit more. Maybe they have to dive in. They take what Deshaun Watson says today over the next couple of days, and then they add that to all the evidence that's already out there. And it might take until July, the middle of July, late July, to really come to a true decision on the suspension. I would hope it would come quicker than that. I think a lot of people think that the suspension is going to come this week, as early as tomorrow. I don't think that it'll come that soon. I think, if anything, we'll get it on Friday. I think that's the earliest that we get it.
That's a good point. And they could do like a Saturday news dump.
Absolutely. But I think it might take another week or two before we get a true decision, so they can really sit down, look through everything, consider all sides of it, and then come to a decision.
There was a good article by Zach Jackson of The Athletic, who talked about, you know, how he wrote about the fact that he thinks that this move was a mistake for the Browns, which is a bold thing to write. And whether or not you agree with that is up to you. I think everybody can agree that it was a huge risk.
Right.
I do want to read part of this. Again, this is Zach Jackson from The Athletic. This could be a complete disaster on the field, and not just because the Browns would be a borderline playoff team at best if Jacoby Brissett, an experienced and confident backup, is their starting quarterback. Andrew Berry traded 3 first-round picks and 3 additional picks for Watson and a future pick because he believed last year's Browns should have been a playoff team and that this year's team could be a real contender in a loaded AFC. Instead, it looks like the Browns are contenders to lead the league in rushing attempts on the way to another third-place finish. The team would be looking at another wasted year with players like Myles Garrett and Nick Chubb in their primes, with the Watson cloud hanging over everything the Browns do.
Hey, Kareem Hunt on a contract year. Like, here's I saw somebody from Browns Twitter the other day say, look, this Deshaun Watson looming suspension really isn't a big deal for the Browns. As long as you're not really concerned about all of the money going to all of the star players right now in the moment, built on trying to win within the next 2 years, then it's not that big of a deal at all, because that's all their money is tied up in high-level players. They're in win-now mode, and they don't have their quarterback to win now. And I'm super excited to watch Jacoby Brissett throw for 170 yards, 1 touchdown,
you're triggering me.
2 interceptions. I've seen it before.
Hello.
But yeah, I mean, I feel bad. I don't feel bad for the Browns. I feel a little bad for the Browns players, especially guys like Myles Garrett. And some of these guys, they didn't decide where they got drafted. They didn't decide
right.
where they ended up. But I feel bad for Browns fans because Browns fans didn't ask for this. They didn't necessarily want this. Probably some of them were like, yeah, let's go get Deshaun, or this is just going to blow over, blah, blah. And they didn't realize the severity of it. Like, I get, we all here in this city, we have Deshaun fatigue. We've had Deshaun fatigue. We've bypassed Deshaun fatigue. It's like How I Met Your Mother when they're in the song, where they're in the car listening to the song 500 Miles.
Yeah.
And then they get tired of it, and Marshall's like, don't worry, Ted, it's going to come around again. That's how it's been with Deshaun in Houston, where it's like the Deshaun fatigue sets in, we get tired of it, and then now it's exciting again. Now it's exciting. Oh, there's the fatigue again. It just keeps coming back, and we can't get rid of
it
until there's an actual decision made. The Browns fans didn't know that. That fan base didn't know what they were getting into, and now they're starting to feel the effects of it. But the worst part is they gave up assets for team building.
I think my thing, though, is that they knew about, 22? I mean, yeah, maybe now it's up to 26. But, and I will forever say this about the Deshaun Watson situation. Sometimes when you gamble in life, you lose. Now, sometimes you win.
Yeah.
So you know what? He may win them a Super Bowl. Who am I to say? I don't know.
Right.
Hell, it could be next year. It could be 4 years from now. But sometimes when you gamble and you bet, you lose.
Right.
And so this was a huge, huge risk. I don't care what side you're on. It was a massive risk. And if Sue L. Robinson and Roger Goodell and everybody huddles in a room off the record, no journalists allowed, and says, look, we got to make an example out of this guy because we can't have quarterbacks doing this. Well, that's the risk that Andrew Berry and the Browns and the Haslams took. And if I feel bad for any ownership group, it's not the Haslams. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some MLB suspensions. Speaking of suspensions, some MLB suspensions, what we think of them. After a fight, plus, what if I told you somebody tried to fight our own Josh Beard? You'll hear the story next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. Usually we have our NFL countdown at this segment, but we're going to switch it up today. We are going to talk a little bit of MLB, and then we'll do our NFL countdown in the next segment. Josh, we're going to get to you in a second because you had a little bit of an incident.
I didn't. Another person had an incident that I was a bystander for and shouldn't have been.
You're going to hear that story. We'll decide, and our listeners will decide. A combined 12 members of the Angels and the Mariners have received discipline and fines for that quote unquote brawl, the benches clearing at Angel Stadium. Angels manager Phil Nevin, 10 game suspension. So he will not be in Houston because managers cannot appeal suspensions. Mariners outfielder Jesse Winker, 7-game suspension. Anthony Rendon, Houston native, 5-game suspension for leaving the dugout. His suspension will be served when he returns from the IL. Angels assistant pitching coach Dom Chidi, 5-game suspension. Mariners shortstop J.P. Crawford, 5-game suspension. The list kind of goes on and on and on. What do you guys think of this? Because we've talked a little bit about how baseball could use some excitement. I understand that brawls after a brawl, after an incident, that you need to punish people. But things like this, drama like this, I think is good for the game. So why can't they just stick guys with a little 2-3-piece suspension and call it a day? Like, we have Angels manager Phil Nevin being suspended for 10 games.
Am I
wrong, or is this dramatic?
I'm actually okay with that one. I believe of all the people, and maybe this is just old man yells at cloud, get off my lawn talk, right? But I believe that of all people on the diamond, all people in those clubs, the managers need to be the ones that try to be the voice of reason. And Phil Nevin was instigating. Phil Nevin was instigating more than anybody else. I mean, he's the one who started jawing at Jesse Winker first. So I believe that if it's the manager, I'm totally fine with the 10-game suspension because an example needs to be set, because if the guy who's leading your clubhouse can't be the one who's the voice of reason, then you could have a lot of chaos going on in clubhouses and in baseball and in some of these games.
So you think the manager needs to be the example?
Absolutely.
Okay, but Jesse Winker, 7 games.
Yeah, that's too much. With players themselves, totally fine with like two or three games. One game, honestly. I mean, look, when we see fights, and this is what kind of bothers me. When we see fights in some sports, it's okay. And when we see fights in other sports, it's not okay. I'd totally be fine with if every sport went to like an NHL model. I know that you had like you had a benches clearing. You can't put everybody into a penalty box type thing. But I'd be totally fine. The NHL allows those moments of passion. They allow those heated moments. Guy goes to the penalty box. He sits there for a few minutes. He comes back out and he helps contribute to his team. I'd be totally fine with something similar in every other professional sport. So like in baseball, a one-game suspension or maybe a per-inning suspension. He gets suspended for a certain amount of innings in the next game, which might be a nightmare to try to keep track of. But I think it's better than 7 games for Jesse Winker. That's insane to me.
It's a lot.
Right. And so like when we see the NBA, and the NBA when players start to fight, everybody's like, oh, man, I can't believe they're fighting. They shouldn't be doing that. What? If baseball's supposed to be the gentleman's game, why are we okay with a benches clearing brawl in baseball, right, but we're not okay with fighting in basketball? I think basketball should be the same as hockey. If a couple guys want to throw down, put them in a penalty box for a few minutes, let them come back out and get more rebounds.
It's like there are less fights in football because football is already such a violent sport that if you want to beat somebody up, you just say, on the next play, I'm going to try to end your career.
Right.
But these other sports, obviously, especially in baseball, like you don't have anywhere to take out that aggression.
Right, right. And so that's why you see more of these like crazy heated moments where it's just a bunch of amped up, juiced up professional athletes waiting to clear those benches because they come out fast. Nobody reacts faster for their teammates than baseball teams in the middle of a brawl. Because there are guys, I guarantee you there are dudes in the dugout that's like, I hope we get one today. I hope we can clear today. I hate those guys, especially between the Angels and the Mariners. Like, I hate those guys over there. I hope we can clear out today. So they take the opportunity as quickly as they can. Football, you're right. Like, you already get to hit people as hard as you can in the play. But then there's, like, extracurriculars during the play and after the play that these guys do to each other. So in between is like the, okay, I'm going to take a break right now, and then we're going to try to hurt each
other. And your body
again
is so tired, right? It's like, so baseball players, it's like they need an area of aggression. But I liked the drama. I like, again, in baseball, anytime you have something going on. Guys, even the Joe Kelly thing with the Astros. I know Astros fans hated Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly hated Astros fans. But I was there, and it was an empty Minute Maid Park when that whole thing happened because of COVID. But the reactions to things like that, I think, in a weird way, as long as nobody gets hurt, are good for what can kind of be considered a dull game. What was not dull was an incident that you had, I believe, at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Josh Beard got beat up.
Of all places.
Josh Beard got his ass kicked.
I did not. That would never. Well, okay.
By a large man. He had to go to the hospital.
Josh was talking about how sore he is when he walked in today.
Yes, he was.
Now I'm putting it all together.
Literally none of this is true except the sore thing, and that's because of a softball doubleheader.
Oh, that really helped your cause.
And I have a whole broken body. Okay, this is what happened. I go to HEB, of all places, where you don't want to have to, like, try to defend yourself or get into a fight with another human being.
Now,
I feel like HEB is one of those places. Yeah.
As the moderator of this, because I really want to hear, I want to get the full effect.
Right.
Why is HEB the one place? Because it's like
it's
a family.
It's such a happy place.
Okay, gotcha.
It's the Disney World of Texas.
Oh.
That's what HEB is.
Not Buc-ee's. Okay.
No, not Buc-ee's. I like Buc-ee's, and I love that people love Buc-ee's. It's cool. Buc-ee's is mid. I have been to other gas places.
For real.
Buc-ee's is super mid, for real.
Bruh.
Yeah. But HEB it's the happiest place in Texas. When you go to HEB, you're going to get good food, you're going to get some fun stuff, and I was just going to get snacks for my family because we were watching my kids are at home for the summer.
Family, man.
My wife is a teacher, she's at home for the summer.
Wife's a teacher.
Yeah.
He's really getting people to empathize with him. Do you see this performance, Sean?
I'm going to get snacks.
My wife's a teacher, and I was going to get
just
snacks.
We're living the American dream
for my family.
We're gonna celebrate the 4th of July by flags.
When you hear what this guy tried to fight me over, you will 100% be on my side.
Okay.
So I'm walking out of the grocery store. I have all my snacks. I got a big smile on my face. I'm skipping with my cart. I'm feeling really good. We're having a great day. And I'm walking out to my car. There's nothing. There's two things at a grocery store I hate the most. People that won't put their own carts up. But number one, it's people who park in multiple spots. I can't stand it when people are so inconsiderate that they park in multiple spots. If you're just accidentally inched over into a spot, maybe I can understand. But between there was me, what should have been my car, what should have been an empty space, and then a truck. But this truck was parked like cockeyed, catty cornered across two spots. He just pulled in real fast, parked across two spots. So I did the normal thing any logical, red-blooded American okay. person would do. And I shook my head and scoffed and laughed at his parking job. I did the normal suburban. I looked at the parking job. I was like,
God. As my late dad would have said, daggone it.
Yeah, exactly. And I did not know he was in his truck with his wife, and they were both getting out of the truck at the time when I did that. And so...
Because
I scoffed and laughed, this fine, large, older gentleman started berating and cussing at me. He was throwing F-bombs and C-bombs and B-bombs all over the place. And he's like, do you have a problem? I'm like, yeah, with the way you parked, I think it's really crappy that you parked like that. And I'm not a quiet guy. I maybe talk too much every once in a while. I'm sarcastic, and I think when people do something like that, it needs to be addressed. And so he started throwing out all these things. I'm like, maybe you should be a better human being and park better next time. He did not like that. And he immediately came up to me, got in my face. He's just, I mean, spittle is flying everywhere. We're talking slow motion spit from his mouth flying past my face and onto my face. I'm at the tailgate of my SUV just trying to put my snacks into my car. And this man is like, his wife is pulling at him. I'm like, come on, let's go. I was like.
So the wife's trying to defuse.
Yeah, she was trying to defuse. I'm just standing there in shock because I'm like, are you really trying to fight me over me scoffing at the way you parked because you're the a-hole? What's going on here? I was like, sir, I'm going to need you to back up, please. I'm going to need you to back up. You have 10 seconds. And his wife pulled him away. And nothing ended up happening.
Was he smaller than you?
Oh, no. No, he would have been because I already had a plan, but was not smaller than me.
But, so this actually would have been a fight.
Yeah, it would have been a legitimate fight. Well, it wouldn't have been, but it would have been, yeah.
No, I mean, but like he's somebody that visually. Now people don't know your army. You're
walking off the bus. He looks
but, right. Yeah, right. Air Force exactly. experience. On paper, yeah. On paper,
right. Tail the tape.
Yeah.
He's got a 6'2" with a 73-inch reach. No,
so the wife is pulling him away.
The wife is pulling him away, and I was like, "Sir, I'm going to need you to back up." And like it all happened way faster than I told the story. Like it was very quick. Like he came out and said, "Do you have a problem?" I said, "Yeah, the way you parked is crappy." And he started yelling and cussing at me. He didn't like what I said. He gets in my face. I'm just trying to put my stuff in my car. His wife finally pulls him away. And I was left standing at the back of my car like, what's happening right now? Am I being punked? Where's Ashton Kutcher hiding? Because this is absolutely insane. I'm at the happiest place in Texas. I just want to go home and eat my popcorn with my kids and watch some Stranger Things.
With your teacher wife?
Yeah, with my teacher wife. And this man is berating me because of something he did wrong.
This would have been the B block on local news had there been footage of an HEB fight between two local dads. I mean, other than rest in peace, like the migrants thing would have been the A block, but the B block would have been Josh and this man getting into it because that is local. And I'm sorry if you're both the visual of
hefty
two bigger guys
yeah.
when you're strong, like the visual of two guys that look like they can hoe down, throw down. Whoa.
He's very lucky that it's 36-year-old just played two games of softball, Josh, and not 22-year-old doesn't care how many games of anything he's played, Josh, because that Josh was way angrier. That was an angry Josh.
0061 said that guy probably heard Josh named Luca as number 77. That was
fair.
My reaction
too.
Fair. Okay. Oh, Beard knows karate. Do you know karate?
No, I don't. No, I don't know karate. It's just a little like just grappling and Krav Maga.
At what?
Grappling and Krav Maga. It's Israeli martial arts.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I definitely knew what that was.
It's not allowed to be used in MMA because it's all about breaking people.
I knew that you were gonna, when she asked if you knew karate, you were gonna say no and say yes to a different martial art. I just didn't know which one.
A little bit of McMap too, because I trained with Marines a little bit, but I'm not good at it.
I thought you were gonna say, well, when I was 12, I took some Taekwondo.
Yeah,
I know. Hibachi. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. First of all, please let us know and text the text line. Do you believe Josh Beard's story? Or is there a man out there with a black eye right now? But it is 73 days until the NFL season. We want to know who you think is the NFL player with the most dog in them. That's coming up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
73 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is on vacation. We have Josh Beard with us, and then Sean Mapes, of course, behind the glass. There's some words that get overused in sports.
Yes.
There's some sports cliches that I'm not a fan of. And I'm guilty of using them, but one of them is classy. Somebody will be like, oh, classy move. Tom Brady shook Bill Belichick's hand. Like, that's not classy. Shut up. On and off the field. A leader on and off the field. A gym rat. Well spoken. There are lots of cliches. The latest cliche is the word dog. Saying that somebody is an absolute dog. This is per Pro Football Talk, NBCSports.com. Jonnu Smith was talking about Mac Jones. He said, Mac's one of the goofiest guys in the locker room, to be honest. But when he steps on that field, he's a different character. He's just got so much ability and so much dog in him. Once he flips that switch, he's a whole different character. Now, I think Mac Jones has potential.
Right.
I think that he did a good job last year. I wouldn't consider Mac Jones a dog.
Well, here's the funny thing about the overuse of the phrase, got that dog in him. There's so many different kinds of dogs. You know what? I have two dogs in
poodles.
My house. Yeah, I have a Boxador, which is a boxer lab mix. She's tough as nails. She's awesome. She's very sweet, but she's a big, strong, don't mess with me and my people dog. I also have a toy poodle.
You have a toy poodle?
I have a toy poodle.
H-E-B guy that kicked someone's ass in a parking lot?
No. Well, that guy
has a toy poodle?
By the way, that guy at H-E-B, he had that dog in him. That guy,
no.
He had that dog.
That old man you almost beat up?
Right. No. He wasn't an old man. He was only maybe 5 years older than me.
Hey, what if he was a teacher? Oh, no.
Oh, that's fine. Totally fine. I would have been like, you gave me an F in sixth grade. It would a lot of bad feelings.
A lot of emotions.
A lot of emotions would have come up. Anyway, but I have a poodle and I have a Boxador. What kind of dog does Mac Jones have in him? Does he have a Papillon? Is that the kind
that's
of dog
point.
That he has in him? Or does he have a pit bull? Like, what kind of dog are we talking? We never specify the dog, Vanessa.
Let's assume that we are talking about a tough dog, like a pit bull. Like an aggressive dog. Who do you guys think has the most dog in them that's currently in the NFL? You can go offensive. You can you can go punter if you want. Sean Mapes, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers / running back for the San Francisco 49ers. Debo Samuel has that dog in him.
And he's technically he would be a mixed breed, right? Because he's running back, wide receiver.
Yes, he's a mutt, which are the toughest of the dogs.
Dogs.
He had to make it on the streets because he was a dog. He's a rescue.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Josh Beard.
I'm gonna go.
Josh Beard. Who's the most dog?
I got a lot of dog in me.
I'm gonna go with the man himself, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, Mark Andrews. His nickname is Mandrews. How much more dog do you have in you if your nickname is Mandrews? That guy can sky over anybody he wants and catch the ball, come down with it, take a couple hits, roll off of him, and score a touchdown. He is the number one target for Lamar Jackson now, and he's got that dog in him. You know what? The crazy thing is, his nickname is Mandrews. He's got that dog, and he's got that man in him. He's got dog man in him. And that's why I pick Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews. Okay. We, of course, want to know you guys' opinion. Somebody, 6602, said Micah Parsons has the most dog in him.
That's actually probably true.
Micah Parsons is by far the league leader in who gets mentioned during the segment as answers for questions. Paul loves him. I love
Paul,
him.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And he does have that dog in him.
Nobody loves him more than me, though, so try me.
I would make a comment, but it would sound wrong since I'm a woman. defensive end for the 49ers. I'm going with Nick Bosa. Now, I know that he has dealt with some injuries, and I know that, but he had the defensive rookie of the year. He was a Pro Bowler in 2019. And from what I've heard in the locker room and what I've heard from other players is he's somebody that's intimidating to play against when he's healthy. So, like dogs that get injured... Like dogs that have to go to the vet.
Lame dogs.
But when they come back, they're better than ever.
Or you put them down.
He's had a couple injured paws in his day.
He has.
But he gets them wrapped up. And
we're really going all in with
sent
this.
To the
he had to wear the cone.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
way he didn't, like, touch the injured paws, that could be dangerous.
But he's still a dog.
Right.
He's still an absolute dog.
Yeah. Also, I hope people are recognizing how we're spelling dog by the way we're saying it.
D-A-W-G.
And it's going to continue to deteriorate the more we talk about dogs. Okay, I have a question. Who has the most dog on the Houston Texans? Who has the most dog in them?
Ooh, the most dog on the Houston Texans? I like Davis Mills, but it's probably not Davis Mills.
Actually, I think
you know what? I'm sorry. Somebody on the text line just brought up Aaron Donald as an answer. That's probably the correct answer.
He is the biggest dog on the lot.
He probably
in the pound.
That is probably know. The.
I'm losing track.
He's
of the
biggest
metaphor.
Dog in the dog. Browns fans are loving this segment right now. By the way,
yeah. Well, it ain't Deshaun Watson. He's not going to be playing.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Nick Chubb has some dog in him.
Nick Chubb does have some dog in him. Kareem Hunt's got a little dog in him, too.
Probably when you look at all time, you know, so let's do the Texans real quick, and then let's do all time.
All time.
Texans.
Right. I'm going to go with a player who, while he is new, I just think he's got that dog in him. And that's Kenyon Green. I've watched Kenyon Green his entire college career. He's played four different positions on the offensive line. He's a great run blocker. He's a serviceable pass blocker. Probably better than serviceable, but Kenyon Green, he's got that dog in him.
I'm going with Roy Lopez, not only because of size, but because some of the plays that he was able to make. I think he's really young. Yeah. This is not a Texans team. I mean, I'm looking at the roster. I like Jeff Driskel a lot. Laremy Tunsil doesn't seem like he likes football. Nico Collins seems like a nice guy. There are not a lot of dogs on the Texans. What about you, Sean?
Rex Burkhead has the dog in him.
Somebody on Twitch just said Kyemi Fairbairn had that dog in him. Can you compare with that dog?
Yeah, no. Kamu Grugier-Hill, you could argue, maybe had some dog in him. Oh, Davis, yeah. 1194 said Davis the Dog Mills. Yeah, hell of a nickname. Let's see. So how about all-time in the NFL? Somebody already said Dick Butkus on the line had the all-time dog. I'll go with little Marshawn Lynch.
Ooh,
dog.
I like that one. I'm going to go with Lawrence Taylor. We're talking about big dogs. And the guy who has
your
the biggest dog in him. That's definitely Lawrence Taylor, 100%. Big dog.
Sean, do you have any all-time NFL players that you think are dogs?
Let me think. I'm trying. Oh, Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh.
It's a great one.
He had that dog in
Newly
him.
Retired.
Yes.
All-time dog.
He's a little older dog.
Older dog.
Older dog. Older little dog. Little bit on his whimpers. He's roughed up.
He gets up from naps and he walks a little gingerly now.
His eyes are a little glazed over. There's definitely some of that
milky
discoloration.
He's on some different Purina chow.
We've gotten
now.
Two texts about Tom Brady. All-time great quarterbacks are automatically dogs.
Well, yeah, that we know they're dogs. Yeah.
And also he's a little too polite. Ray Lewis and somebody said Michael Vick.
Ooh, Ronnie Lott. Somebody Michael said Ronnie Lott. That's a good one.
Some people...
Is Michael Vick a dog?
Oh, no.
No.
We're not going there.
He is dog catcher.
Yeah. No.
I had to read it, even though I cringed when it came in. Yeah, Joel Blank said Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is probably also...
Arguably too much dog.
Too much dog.
Hey, Marvin Harrison.
Over dog.
He was more of a dog off the field.
Marvin Harrison was a dog off the field.
Gentleman on the gridiron. Dog in the streets.
Classic dog behavior. Brian Urlacher. Dog.
Oh, Mark Slareff, because he would pee himself during game.
Yeah.
Classic dog behavior.
That's dogs pee themselves all the time.
I like my answer of Marshawn Lynch, but I also think the Ray Lewis is just objectively a good one, like on and off the field. That's a good call by Joel Blank.
Cam Chancellor also had that dog.
Ooh, that's a good one, yeah.
Reggie White. We've gotten a lot of Reggie White.
Does J.J. Watt have that dog?
Gold retriever dog.
You know what? That's a good call because J.J. Watt is too nice off the field and too kind of corny and cheesy on social media to be known as a dog.
He's not like a Rottweiler.
I think he and Kalia may have golden retrievers.
Kirk Cousins has that dog. Chihuahua, but it's still
Vince
a dog,
Wilfork,
technically.
Dog.
Vince Wilfork, dog. Yeah. Ndamukong Suh.
Dog.
Yeah.
Nick Fairley.
Ndamukong Suh's like a chow chow, though. Right, because sometimes they turn on their owners and they can be a little mean.
I was going to say he has a dog. He's a dog with a biting problem.
Yeah, exactly. We had to get rid of a Shar Pei whenever I was younger because it bit my brother repeatedly.
You have dogs that I don't think you would have.
Yeah, really?
I mean, the poodle, what did you say? You
it's a toy poodle, but yeah. My daughter loved my mother-in-law's toy poodle, so obviously we had
I forgot
had
you had a daughter.
One.
Yeah, that makes more
but
sense.
But then the Boxador, she's awesome. I've always wanted a lab. If I had any dog, if I could have any dog at all, it'd be a chocolate lab. That's what I want.
I had a chocolate lab, just had to put them down on Mother's Day. R.I.P. Half chocolate lab, half German short hair. Ooh. Beautiful dogs.
Derrick Henry has that dog in him.
Vita Vea, dog.
Earl Campbell, dog.
All-time dog.
Just all-time dog.
The rest of the segment is just going to be us saying names and then dog afterward. Yeah.
Somebody who is technically a dog is Deshaun Watson, part of the dog pound now. But when will he be playing? Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to discuss that, the possible hearing today. And it's been a year of NFL issues, mostly, though, guys, among owners. We're going to continue our dog discussion and talk about that next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.